Once again, we're talking about building a great prayer life. I think that's a valuable subject, don't you? To learn how to build a great prayer life. And it is a subject that the Bible talks about quite a bit. Today we're looking at this section, about how to build a great prayer life. Once again, about the name of God, the name of Jesus. These names matter. The name of God matters. Most of you know that in the Old Testament, God gave them a command, and the command was, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In other words, take God's names more than one, seriously. When we come to this study of prayer, I put this up here, you can't build a great prayer life without this. And the this, under there, what does it say? Ask in the name of Jesus. When I ask in my name, what does that sound like? Well, if I ask in my name, I'm saying, Lord, you got to do this for me because I really need this. And I promise you I'll do better. I promise you I won't make that mistake again. And I promise you I'll be in church all the time. And I just need this help. Don't you understand? I need this. And I'm really hurting here, and nobody else is helping me. And that's praying in my name. Praying in my name sounds like begging. Praying in my name sounds like I don't have any hope that he's going to answer. I'm just sort of shooting out into the ether out there trying to shoot that maybe something will happen. Maybe I'll throw everything out there and something will stick. Praying in the name is much more precise prayer. It's a lot better. It's a lot different than praying in your name. On this next slide, I put this just a reminder sort of. I'm not going to have time to go into all of these. Look at the four times. Look at all four times in the Gospel of John. Four different times in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I want you to pray in my name. Chapter 14, verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 16, verse 23, 24. John chapter 16, verse 26. Did he mean it when he said that? I want you to pray to the Father. And that whole section which we talked about during communion is where he's going away. He said, I'm leaving. Well, what's he going to do? Go through the crucifixion and go through the resurrection, come back for 40 days and teach them some more, but then he's going to ascend to the Father. And so he's talking a lot about going away. And in effect, he's saying, you're going to need a prayer life when I'm gone. You're going to need some help when I'm gone. You're going to need to be able to pray with confidence. Are we supposed to pray in faith? Does the Bible say elsewhere? In fact, James wrote that. It's not on the screen here, but James talked about praying for the sick, and he said the prayer of faith will raise up the sick. He didn't say any old prayer will do it. He said the prayer of faith. Are we supposed to pray in faith? Well, how do you pray in faith if you think you're the answer, if you think you have to beg, if you think you have nothing to bring, you have nothing to bring to God, you have just yourself, and you're not doing very well right now, and it's like, but you got to answer my prayer. Please answer my prayer. You got to have more than that. If you're counting on you to get the answer, you'll never pray anything but just timid little prayers. But if you know you have some help, if you know you have someone backing you, if you know you have someone backing you, and you can pray in his name, you're going to pray with confidence. You want to pray with confidence. I guarantee you, I've learned this over preaching about, almost 50 years now. I can't do this by myself. I can't get up here and just think up something to say. It has to be God doing it. Or there's nothing to it. Same way with my prayers. If he's not helping me pray, I'm just rummaging around for something to say, hoping maybe I'll get some attention somehow, some way. That's not praying in his name, is it? So Jesus here in these four places in John's Gospel, he said, I want you to be praying in my name. Remember, they're sitting around the Last Supper for a lot of this, and he's telling them, I'm going away, so here's my command to you. I want you to love each other, but I also want you to pray in my name because you're going to need it. You're going to really need it. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, not too long after he said these things, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying because he knows the crucifixion is happening in a few hours. And he's praying, and as he's praying, he told them a couple of times, at least, he said, I'm going over here to pray, but you stay here and you pray and you watch. And he came back and they weren't praying. What was happening? They were asleep. They were asleep. And he said, get up and pray so you will not fall into temptation. Did he know trial was coming? That's what the word temptation means, a trial. Did he know they were about to undergo trial? He was undergoing trial, the worst trial anybody's ever faced because he's carrying the sin of the whole world. He says to them, you're going to need some prayer time for this. You're going to need to sharpen your axe. You're going to need to be praying because temptation or trial is coming. So he's coaching them all along about their prayer life and saying, you need this, you need to do this, you need to do it in my name because you're going to need the help. Well, the next slide, ask you this question. Did they actually do that? You may think you know the answer. Did they actually do that and pray in his name? We're going to look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to see some incidents here. Best way I know to get the point across is show examples, right? So here's some examples. Acts chapter 3. Look at Acts chapter 3 verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. What's going on here? This is after Jesus had been crucified, raised from the dead, came back after 3 days. He spent 40 days. This is all earlier in the book of Acts. He spent 40 days personally teaching them, resurrected man, still got the holes in his hands, still got the hole in his side, and he's teaching them because he's back from the dead. And he can walk through walls. He can go anywhere he wants to go. Evidently, he could transform his body because it's now a different kind of body than the one he had before the crucifixion and resurrection. It's him. They knew him. He said, do you have anything to eat? In one of the meetings, he said, a ghost does not have flesh and bone like you see me have. Did he allow them to touch him? You remember Thomas touched him. Thomas said to the other disciples before Jesus showed up at that meeting, he said, I won't believe it unless I see it. When that meeting happened, Jesus said, Thomas, come here. What did he let Thomas do? He said, put your finger right through there. Finger went right through the hand. Put your hand in my side. Hand went up in Jesus' side. You know what Thomas said? My Lord and my God, you really did this. You really did come back from the dead. And you're the same Jesus, but you're not the same. You're sitting here eating fish with us and teaching us. And we saw you die. We know you were dead. You were in the grave 3 days. And you're back. After all of that, Jesus, teaching them some more, 40 days, he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem before you go anywhere. I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the promise my Father promised you, the gift my Father promised, the Holy Spirit. So they wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and they receive the Spirit, and they're able to begin to preach. And all of that has happened. In fact, if you look at Acts 2:47, it said, they were praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. There were already 3,000, already the 12 apostles and a few disciples, 120 in the upper room. Now there are 3,120 disciples. And Peter, chapter 3, Acts 3:1, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Things have kind of settled down, but they haven't returned to normal yet. So what are they doing? Remember, they're Jews. All the apostles are Jews. Jesus was Jewish. So they still go to the temple. And there's a time of prayer every day. So they go into the temple at the time of prayer. 3:00 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth. How long had he been crippled? From birth. maybe he was born, okay, and there was a birth accident or something, but he, from birth, crippled. A man crippled from birth was being carried, so he couldn't walk, obviously, to the temple gate called Beautiful. They had several gates where you can enter the temple complex. This one's called Beautiful. Evidently, it was beautiful. Where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Couldn't work. Somebody cared enough about the man to carry him to the temple. He figured that's a good place. People will be compassionate. They're going into worship, coming out of worship. They put him there to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He asked them for money. What's he doing there? He's got to have something to eat. He can't work. Most of the work in their day, obviously, was manual labor. Can't do that. Somebody in the family must have carried him up there every day, every day, every day. He has to sit there. What a humbling position. You have to sit there with your hand out all day long. So he's begging, asking Peter and John. Well, who are Peter and John? John was a disciple whom Jesus loved. Peter was the one that denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus still reinstated him after the resurrection, didn't he? Peter and John. The two of the main disciples, main apostles. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he probably didn't know who they were, but he just knew, here comes some more people. I need some money. Peter looked straight at him as John did. I wonder how many times they'd walk past that guy and never even noticed he was there. Says he was there every day, right? And so they're walking by, and something grabbed their attention. The man asked for money. And it says, Peter and John looked, well, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Peter said, look at us. Look at us. Why would he say that? Well, I suspect as a beggar, you just don't. They're coming by, coming by, coming by. Got your hand out. I need some money. Can you help me, please? Can you help me with a meal? Can you help me get a little money together? And he's saying it's about the same thing to everybody that comes by. And they're coming by, and they're coming by. And Peter and John stop, and Peter says, look at us. Look at me. Look at me. Something is going on here. So the man looked at them and gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, silver or gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. What does Peter have? Well, he has the name. He's wearing the name. He's authorized. You ever known anyone that got called up to Washington and the president, whoever the president was at the time, called them in and said, I need you to be an ambassador. I want you to be an ambassador to this country, and we're having some problems with this country over there, but I want you to be an ambassador to Iceland or some country. And you go over there, and here's what I want you to do. So you sit down, you have a long session with the president, and he says, here's some things we need them to correct. We want you to talk to them about these things and see if you can work out a deal and to change the relationship we have with this country. So the person who's now going to be an ambassador, yes, sir, thank you. I'm honored for this position. And so I'll travel there right away. And they get all the details about who to contact when you get there. And so off you go. This ambassador goes off. And they get into a meeting with the president of that other country. They do not say, here's what I want you to do. What do they say? The president has said this. Well, I don't know if we can do that or not. Well, the president said, here's what he would like to see happen. They're not going under their own power, or they're not going under their own authority. They're not going on who they are. That's a little bit of an honored position to be an ambassador, of course. But you're not getting something because of who you are. You're getting something because of who you represent. So Peter and John said to the man, in the name. Look at that. Acts chapter 3, verse 4. Peter looked it straight at him, and as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to find something, some money, obviously. Peter said, "Silver or gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus." In the name of Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth. Walk. And then, taking him by the hand, he helped him up. And most people would say, "I don't think I'd have the faith to do that. I don't think I would have the faith to tell somebody to get up and walk and grab them by the hand." What's happened to Peter and John? Oh, they've been through everything with Jesus, and they've been through the resurrection with Jesus, and now they've been through the Holy Spirit coming, and they're set to go, and they have the power of God on them, and they have the name. They have the name. They have the authority of Jesus. Peter's not saying, "You can be healed in my name." What is he saying? Look at what he said. In the name of Jesus, Messiah, Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. When did they become strong? When he got up. How come he got up? Peter said, "I'm exercising some authority here that I have. Jesus gave me this. He said I could ask in his name. He said I can talk things in his name. I'm the ambassador. I'm not the Lord, but I'm the ambassador for the Lord. And I'm telling you, get up and walk." Grabbed him by the hand. Helped him up. How many things in the Bible were done in the name of Jesus? I got a list for you. I know you're not going to be able to write all these down, but they're available back in the foyer back there. What did the early church do in Jesus' name? Acts 2:38, they baptized in the name, didn't they? You're not just baptizing them into a church or into you. Baptize them in the name of Jesus. Acts 3, verse 6, what he just said here, in the name of Jesus, walk. Acts 4:12. There's no other name under heaven, no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. No other name under heaven can save you. Buddha can't save you. Confucius can't save you. Nobody else can save you. There's only one name that died for the sins of the world, Jesus, right? Acts 4:30. While you extend your hand to heal, signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's Acts 4. We'll get to that one in a minute. Acts 5:41. They went on their way from the presence of the council rejoicing they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name. They suffered for the name. They preached, Acts 8:12, they preached good news in the name. Acts 9:14. The Christians were called all who call on your name. That's prayer, isn't it? When you call on the name of the Lord. That's what the Christians were known by. They're those people that call on Jesus' name. Do we do that? I hope we do. Acts 9:16. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. Acts 9:21. Those who called on his name. Same way they describe Christians sometimes. Acts 9:28. Speaking out boldly in the name. Did they preach in the name? Did they preach boldly in the name? Acts 10:43. Through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Do we get forgiven in his name? By his work. That means by his work, doesn't it? Acts 10:48, they were baptized in the name. 15:26, Acts 15:26, they risked their lives for the name. Acts 16:18, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And a demon came out. Acts 19:17. Fear fell upon all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. That's what preaching is, right? Why do we preach Jesus? We're telling who he is. We're telling what he has done. We're telling he is the Son of God. He's died for our sins. He did this. He went through all this for us. Magnify the name of Jesus, right? Make it bigger in people's minds. Acts 21:13. Paul said he was willing to die at Jerusalem for the name. Acts 22:16, Paul was told, get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on, that's prayer, calling on the name. Romans 1:5, the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Romans 10:13, you've heard this one. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Does the name of the Lord have salvation in it? There's a whole other page of this stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You, those who have been sanctified in Christ by calling, by His calling, and who in every place call on the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5:4. All this is available in the foyer on a sheet, just like this one. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks in the name. Colossians 3:17, you heard this one. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it how? Do it how? In the name of the Lord. They did everything in the name of the Lord. They didn't just pray in His name, they did everything in the name of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, that the name of the Lord will be glorified in you. Glorified in you. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus, to keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life. Commanded, the apostles commanded them in the name to do the right thing. Hebrews 2:12, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and love which you have shown toward His name. Hebrews 13:15, give thanks in His name. James 5:14, call for the elders of the church. They pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. 1 Peter 4:14, if you're reviled or cursed for the name of Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed. 1 Peter 4:16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but it's to glorify God in this name. Even if you suffer, right? 1 John 2:12, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. 1 John 3:23, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He has commanded us. 1 John 5:13, these things I've written to you who believe in the name. The last one, Revelation 3:8, you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Is the name of Jesus big in the early church? Is it big in the church today? It needs to be bigger. Why do we have Christ on the building? It's the ecclesia, the group, the assembly of Christ. It's the people who gather in the name of Christ. We don't gather in the name of Walmart. We don't gather in the name of dollar store, General Motors. We are a people of Christ. We are a section. We're not the whole church, but we're a section, a people of the Christ, of the Messiah, and we wear His name. And if you're uncomfortable with that, you might as well get used to it, because if you're going to have salvation, you have to be a disciple of Jesus, the name of Christ. You walk in His name. You do everything in His name. He owns you. You're not your own, Christ said. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. This is serious stuff, folks. If you want to play church, if you just want to play church, all kinds of places out there you can do that. I don't want to be that kind of church, do you? I want to be authentic. An authentic disciple of Jesus. You want to be an authentic disciple of Jesus. We want this church to be full of authentic disciples of Jesus, because this is it, folks. This is not a dress rehearsal. Your time on this earth is short. Even the little ones, they won't make it to probably to 100 years old. And the Lord may come back this afternoon. You don't know that. We're working on a time schedule. When are we going to serve Him? When are we going to decide, I belong to Him? He sets my agenda. There was a famous thing happened not too many years ago where a guy started preaching and he said, for too many churches, Jesus is just a mascot. Just a mascot, like a football team has a tiger for their mascot. But they're not tigers. They don't act anything like tigers. You put them out in the wilderness, they couldn't survive. They're not a tiger. Is Jesus just a mascot? Nope. Oh, he's demanding. He's demanding, and demanding is good because we need some tightening up sometimes. He's demanding, but he's the kind of leader that you know he loves you unconditionally, and you love him in return. And he says, I want you to do everything you do in my name. I want you to pray in my name. Pray in my authority. Use it. Did Peter just use it? We just read where Peter calls the man who had never walked. He's over 40 years old. Calls the man who had never walked to get up and walk. And Peter said, we'll get the rest of the story. Peter said he did it by the name, didn't he? Verse 8, he jumped to his feet. Acts 3, verse 8. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. When he went with him into temple, he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping. Man had never walked. Now he's hopping around like a bunny. He's jumping around. And probably he's praising God. He probably got loud. Do you imagine he got loud in there, praising God, jumping around when all the people saw him walking and praising God? They recognized him as the same man he used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, he's not going to let them go, is he? You didn't just heal me. You got something I need. You talked about a name a while ago, you know, of a man. If he did this, I'm going to follow him. So he's hanging on to Peter and John. And all the people were astonished and came running to them at the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said, Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Listen to this. Why do you stare at us? As if by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk. Don't look at us. I think it surprised Peter and John maybe as much as it did the man. When this came over Peter, he said, look at us. And then it just came out of him. The Spirit, right? Spirit filled him and it just came out of him. And he said, walk. In the name of Jesus, I tell you, walk. Pulled him up. Peter and John said, don't look at us. Not because we're apostles that we did this. Not because we're godly men we did this. Not because we have a lot of power that we did this. That was a temptation you see in the book of Acts and other places, where if some disciple did a miraculous work, the pagans tried to worship them as gods. And Peter said, no, don't worship us. Don't look at us. Don't look at us. He talks about verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. Listen to Peter now. Before the crucifixion, Peter would even admit he knew Jesus. Now look at what he's saying. You handed him over to be killed. You, this crowd, big crowd had gathered. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith in the name of Jesus. This man whom you see was and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given him complete healing, as you can all now see. It couldn't be any clearer, could it? Peter keeps saying it. It's not us. It's not us. So when you come into your prayer time, don't say, Lord, this is me. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you. Father, I'm coming to you in the name, that glorious name. You don't always have to say that. If I get on a plane to fly somewhere and, you know, the flight attendant walks by and, you know, do you want a Coke or whatever, you know, and if I look at her and I say, well, you know, I'm flying to Dallas in a plane. I'm flying in a plane. Do I have to say that to be flying in a plane? No. Do you have to say, now I'm praying this in Jesus' name? It's good to do that. I do that. It's good to do that. But never forget, that's not magic. That's not a magic formula. It's your recognizing, I don't have anything. I don't own anything in the sense that I have this power to do what God's leading me to do. The power to have answered prayer comes through the name of Jesus, in His name. Did they? Well, I don't have time to read it all, but if you read the rest of Acts chapter 3, and then see how they handle that, come to the next slide as Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Peter began to preach. He preached all through Acts chapter 3, and then in chapter 4, verse 1, the priest and captain of the temple guard and Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking. So they're still preaching about this event. And who are the priest and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees? They were religious leaders. The same bunch that had Jesus crucified. And they don't like this. We thought we were rid of this man. We thought we were rid of this man and his disciples. And now they're doing these miraculous things in the name of Jesus, and we don't like this. So they got together. Verse 2, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, put them in jail. Verse 5, the next day they had a meeting, pulled them all in. Verse 7, by what power or name did you do this? They knew it was something beyond them. Even their enemies knew something happened that wasn't them. By what name or power did you do this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a crippled man, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus, Messiah of Nazareth. They wanted to know exactly who this is, right? I give you his hometown, Nazareth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Look at the courage now. In fact, later it says they understood Peter and John had all this courage. Now they'd been with Jesus. They didn't muster this up. They had been with Jesus. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. Verse 12, salvation is found in no other one, or no one else, but there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. They're preaching this to their enemies. The ones who had Jesus crucified. They keep talking about the name. They tell them in verse 17, stop preaching in this name. Verse 18, we're still in Acts 4, verse 18. Called them in again, commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter said, judge for yourself. We have to do what God told us to do. We have to obey God rather than men. You've heard that before, haven't you? Verse 21, after further threats, they let them go. Guess what they did? Verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders said to them. Then they went out and found some good lawyers. We're going to sue these people. No, what do? When they heard this, the church heard this. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, you made everything, basically they say. Verse 25, you spoke by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, indeed Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles of the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand. Verse 29, now Lord, consider their threats and make them leave us alone. Is that what they said? Are you looking at it? I'm going to tell you something, folks. This Bible is your lifeline to knowing anything about God. And some people have just this idea that I can take it or leave it. Come to church once in a while, take it or leave it. Well, you do it to your own hurt. You do it to your own damage. Verse 27, 28. Verse 29, now Lord, consider their threats and do what? Make them leave us alone. You know what they said? Bring it on. Can we have some more of this? More of what? Miracles that get us in trouble with these guys. Can you do some more of that? We want you to do some more of that. Notice this. Then Abel, verse 29, and Abel, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Do you think you can have boldness in prayer if you're praying in Jesus' name? We want boldness, they said. Give us boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, verse 30. Do it some more. We want boldness to speak your word. Well, that's what got him in trouble the first time. We want boldness to speak your word. What else you want? Well, we want some more miracles. Could you do some more of those in Jesus' name? Because guess what's going to happen? They're going to get in trouble again. But they don't care. Because they're on a mission. they're not more concerned about being comfortable than they are being called. They'd rather be called than comfortable. Oh, that's a lifelong struggle for disciples, isn't it? We run through spells where we don't want to be bothered and we don't want to be uncomfortable. But they said, no, bring it on. We want some more of this. After they prayed, verse 31, what happened? The place where they were meeting was shaken. So some places around here need to get shaken. The place was shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? Fell down on the floor? No, what did they do? Spoke the word. Spoke the word boldly. Spoke the word in the name boldly. Did the church use the name of Jesus for everything? For everything. Next slide. I saw a billboard. We came back from Austin the other day, and I saw this billboard, the bottom part there. It's a billboard. You see what it says? It says, you can talk to God like Jesus did on a billboard. You can talk to God like Jesus did. And I thought, boy, that's interesting. So I got home, I looked it up. It's a ministry. It's called For Truth. You can look them up online, or you look up, you can talk to God like Jesus did online, you'll find the ministry. And I thought, that's a good way to put it. I want to talk to the God the Father like Jesus did, don't you? Well, I can't do that in myself. I'm not qualified. Who is qualified? We know who's qualified, don't we? Well, you were baptized into Christ. You accepted Him as your Lord. You yielded to Him as your Lord. And when you did that, you wear His name. Why do we call ourselves Christians? Christians. Because we wear the name of Christ. In more ways than one. So when you pray, you're praying in His name. You can talk to God like Jesus did. So I put Hebrews 4:16 up here. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. How can you have confidence? Because you wear His name. When you start praying, the Holy Spirit starts interceding. And when you start praying, the Spirit's interceding for you. And Jesus at the right hand of the Father is praying, interceding for us. So all His prayers going on. And when I start praying, and the Spirit's praying through me, and Jesus is praying at the right hand of the Father, all these voices are going up, and my little bitty voice kind of nestles in there somewhere. And my little bitty voice is not that impressive. But the Father says, let's do that. You want to do that, Jesus? Uh-huh, Father, let's do that. What about you, Holy Spirit? Yeah, I'm on the ground down here, and I see this needs to be done. It's not about me praying. It's about who's praying with me. Who's praying through me. Praying in the name. Praying in the name will change everything. The last slide up here has our notebook. We've been praying for a good while, months, I guess now. We're seeing results. And by the way, if you put a name in here and you know some results, let us know. But several months back, we asked for names of people you know that you, and we're still taking names, people who you know that are not yet Christians that you want to see them come to Christ, or people you know that have fallen away. Bring those names. We're praying over those. If you have an answer, let us know that too. Father, we pray over these names. We pray over the people represented by these names. In the name of Jesus, we're praying, by His authority, by His power. He died for them, Father. And as He died for them, He deserves the fruit. He deserves the fruit of His suffering. So in His name, by His authority, we ask You, Father, touch all these lives in a powerful way, in a powerful way that their hearts will open up to You. That their blinded spiritual eyes will just be healed and they'll begin to see things from a spiritual vantage point. We want to see everybody in this book come to Christ or come back, whatever the case is. Thank You, Father. We believe that You've heard our prayer, Father. And believe because You've heard our prayer and our prayer in Jesus, that You're answering right now. We have faith in that. We thank You for that. In His name we pray. Amen.